Hello, and welcome to The Dive, Season 7, Episode 13, Fresh.
LCS Fresh. Fresh off the
fresh off the Hawaiian
beach day.
It's not Hawaiian, excuse me. It's fresh.
It's just a beach.
Fresh beach.
How do you feel about fresh? Do you feel fresh?
I feel like it's as fresh as it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Exactly
good,
as fresh
good. Perfect.
As it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Nailed it. If you guys don't get that reverence,
I don't get it.
You missed Jat tilting Kobe on the cast. I was watching.
I wasn't tilted. Okay. I was having fun with it. Okay. I thought it was funny.
It was funny. Yeah, it was funny to watch too. But yeah, coming hot off week one, just finished. We got three games in for all the teams with the new schedule. Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays. If you don't know, that's when it's
every
be.
Wednesday
every week. Yeah.
Wednesday.
Weeks of three games a week. Game days a week.
Been a long day.
Yep.
I've been in the pool.
He's also been
drinking.
I got
drinking. A little sunburn. Yeah. Tiki bar, slamming potions, guys.
Water.
I had some really strong potions today.
Okay. Did that? I'm glad I didn't have to go in that pool thing.
It was disgusting.
Yeah,
I didn't want to get
disgusting.
So they made me get in it for this or that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to get in this. You want me to get in this? And then Jack's like, you won't get wet. As long as you...
Kobe, that's what our producer told me when he brought around the cup for everyone to stick their hand in. He's like, you don't even get wet. It's so amazing. I put my hand in. My hand's all wet and gross.
So you get damp unless, like, you put pressure on it. So, like, only my ass was soaked and, like, my feet from, like, stepping up and down. I don't know what Kobe did, but...
I got in.
Yeah, but he did something weird because every person who gets in gets out and they're, like, damp. And Kobe... emptied his shoe of water.
It's fucking dripping.
Yeah, it was like, what did you do in there? Because Jat stepped out too right after filming the same segment.
I mean, he got in a really wet section.
Maybe.
Pool,
I got the section that like Raz had jumped in on and squished a bunch of the balls.
Do you have restless leg syndrome? Maybe you just weren't paying attention.
No,
but you were like mushing grapes the whole time.
I wasn't moving. I felt the moisture. Like my shoes got completely soaked. I felt it as soon as I got in, and I was like,
maybe it was like angled somehow, and like some of the water had drained to that.
It's
corner.
Also cold in here. So I didn't envy being wet.
So
we
came in the morning and we're like, it's 74-ish, they said. And I'm like, yeah, that's like what my apartment is like normally. And like, I'm going to be in like a beater the whole day and wet. So like, it needs to be higher.
Yeah.
So then they cranked it up and eventually
74?
It was 74. And then we told them to turn up. It probably got to like 78. It was like pretty nice.
You're lucky Dash isn't here anymore because it would have been like 50.
Well, what happened was the technician came in. He's like, hey, you're going to melt the LEDs. You got to turn it back down. So then they've been cranking it ever since then.
Like,
that was game four. Now it's freezing.
Oh, because I was like, it does not feel like it's 74.
No, it's cold again.
It's never been 74 since I've been in here today.
No. Yeah, this feels like it's in the 60s.
Yeah, they're blasting it again.
Yeah, got the AC.
Apparently the LEDs are more important than us.
Yeah, well, who knew? All right.
What's more replaceable, really?
Week one was pretty interesting. There was a lot of upsets and a lot of stomps. A lot of stomps. There's like a lot of really one-sided games.
Some teams still on the walkout.
Yep. Some teams still on the walkout. Protesting.
FlyQuest, no one knew.
Yeah. FlyQuest, no one gave them the memo. They're not back yet.
They were memeing on it themselves. Yeah. They're like, okay. We didn't know the walkout was over after the first one. I'm like, oh, they did that a little early and they kept losing.
They weren't expecting losses number 2 and 3.
So yeah. No.
They let that tweet rip a little early.
Whoops.
But it's okay because you can just retweet it after day 3.
Yeah. Okay. Now for sure.
Real.
Now we're ready.
Yeah.
We got a hard schedule after this, too.
I don't know who said it, but it's funny. When you pulled up the schedule for next week and their first game is against Cloud9, they're like, oh, well, FlyQuest is going to actually start 0-4 because they're definitely losing to Cloud9 also.
I was talking to a couple of pros, and from what I heard, no one was surprised that FlyQuest is getting stomped, which was surprising to me. Because when I came in, I was talking to a couple of pros who were just walking through the smoothie bar when I was walking back to go cast or whatever, and game one had just finished, so that was FlyQuest lost to Golden Guardians, and I was like, oh, did you guys catch the game? It was pretty cool, you know. Lakers did this cool Yone build and blah blah blah, and like, oh, like, so who won? I was like, well, Golden Guardians. And they're like, oh, well, that's what I figured, you know, like, we kind of knew that was gonna happen. That's not surprising. And I was like, oh, so
Ayla won the trade is what I'm coming away with. Let's bring back all this trash talk where everyone's like, oh my God, Vulcan is just clowning him. Boom, left, right, boom, boom, wins.
And even then got him in the video, in the FlyQuest summer video. He was dunking on him.
Who's laughing now? Well, it's fucking Ayla.
That he did he quote retweeted him again. So it's not even like we're forcing this. It's like Ayla, there was a Reddit comment that I felt like
Ayla's getting him.
Yeah, it felt like this sums up pretty well where it's like both of them are serious about it. But Ayla is just like straight up serious, like, yeah, he pisses me off. Whereas Vulcan's like, he doesn't piss me off. I'm over this. And but like always keeps replying, you know, where he's like, so both are angry, but like Ayla owns it, I guess. And Vulcan looks like he's still trying to meme through like gritted teeth.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, right? Like, everyone knows when you interact with pros, like, anyone who is a pro player has an ego. It's just part of it, right? Yeah. Like, you to get to really the top of something, you have to, like, have a bit of that self-confidence and stuff. And so, like, they're definitely going at each other. They want to beat each other's ass. So it's definitely
I thought he was going to stop at beat each other. Yeah.
In-game. I hope, I'm just going to throw this out there, but I hope we can get them. I want to get them on a 1v1 because we've been filming 1v1s after games, you know? I would love to get an Ayla Vulcan 1v1 after
make it,
their
just
game
like
somehow.
Get them all like hyped up for it and then just make it a Janna 1v1 or like the most like garbage.
You mean 1v1?
This is the most garbage 1v1, but they're both trying real hard.
Yeah.
That would be actually amazing. But yeah, so standings at the end of week one, Cloud9 3-0, TL's 3-0, EG, IMT, both 2-1. And then we have TSM, Energy, Dig, and Golden Guardians, as well as 100 Thieves that all got one win. And FlyQuest sitting all alone at the bottom in 10th with the Fatty 0-3. It makes it even crazier is that they're, you know, they're the only team. Or wait, no, excuse me.
Yeah, they're the only 0-3.
Yeah, they were the only 0-3. Yep. So I named all the teams. It's pretty crazy. You want to start at the top?
Yeah, I think Cloud9's pretty quick. I mean, everyone knows or thought that they would be the best team coming in. Pretty much still looks like that. They seem to have picked up right where their summer form left off. Can carry from anywhere.
And especially the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
It is carry jungle time. Kindred is good. Kha'Zix is good. Blabber is good. So that's a good recipe. Put those three together. Also, they keep getting Melio. I know there's trades going on and people are like, oh, maybe
they're not worth
like,
it.
You can give Melio and do something to beat him in lane phase, make it not worth. No, it's always worth to have Melio on your team.
I'll give you a chocolate bar if you give me your car.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a trade. Yeah. That's a trade.
Melio, it's the late game is just so crazy to walk around with this AoE ult cleanse and all of the range and all of the stats, by the way, and it's really good for junglers too. Like, I love having Melio on my team. Gives you the speed shield and you get these engages.
Yep.
And Melio gets to stay so far back, so safe when it's an AD carry meta.
Yep. I mean, he is just so strong, right? And one of the things, like, the ult, everyone always talks about AoE QSS. It's actually AoE QSS and AoE heal. It's like a redemption as well. Like, when you have a couple ranks
but
in the
instant.
Ultimate,
you don't have to wait for that to fall.
It's like an AoE 400 heal. You're not always going to be in position to hit everyone, but, like, it is a lot of healing as well, plus the cleanse. So, yeah, he is exceptionally powerful. He doesn't even really have a weak early game to justify it. So he just seems way too strong. I feel like everyone knew he was going to be way too strong. I think he's fun to play. I don't think he's particularly fun to watch. So, like, I'm not keen about the bot lane meta kind of just feeling like the same. I was, you know, kind of coming into it, it feels like it's what, like, this two straight years basically now of kind of like very similar bot lane focus between like from when Zeri first came out and then all the Philios Jinx stuff, Lucian Nami stuff. It's been super, super bot lane.
Good news is the next patch that we're not playing yet for pro, but for live,
a lot of enchanters.
Woo! And Zeri, Yuumi, they both get axed. So I think we're at least clear of that problem.
Oh boy, I can't wait for Felios Jinx meta instead. Yep.
Well, actually, like, I mean, Felios is already the number one picked by so much on 13-11. Let me actually just pull it up because it was crazy, like the amount of picks it had compared to everything else.
Yeah, I mean, because I think Zeri gets banned a little bit more often, and that's like the only AD carry, so it's often Lucian and then like, Felios and then Lucian is often taken into it, but like. If you take Zeri off the board, it's like there's a pretty established list that already exists.
Aphelios, 224 picks. The next most played in of any role is Cassante at 147, and then Zeri is next most played in bot lane of 90, but Zeri has a lot more bans, as you were saying.
Here's my take for my solution, because I also think it's boring when my mid laners are playing tanks. I want mid laners to get buffed. I want mid laners to be the big scary carries once again, and have more variety and options for them, ones that can make plays.
We got Nazir, Kobe. They're coming back. Maybe we'll get Nazir, Cassio, Ori meta. Really shift things around.
Can we get quirky buffs?
I want ones that can make plays. But I mean, it's like when we get like we you get these big matchups between super famous mid laners, like, you know, the famous one with Faker picking Zach when it was like the first
All-Stars.
Yeah. And yeah. Everyone's all
Zach versus Malzahar.
Yeah. And you're just like
between rookie and Faker.
Yeah. Right? You're like Faker rookie time. All right. And then. Huh?
Excuse me.
Yeah. They're just waiting for Worlds before they buff Silas Akali again. They save that for the hype moments. You're like, they make you watch this kick.
Okay.
They make you watch Annie Ari all year long. You're like going crazy. And then you're like, look at the fun champs. They're back.
Next patch, though, if we get some Static Shiv LeBlanc when Static Shiv gets its buff next patch, I'm actually going to be for it. Even though it's like broken, busted, I'm fine with that because it's going to be fresh.
Yeah, I was playing against and with some yesterday. Like, and I don't know like what is actually the best build, but I was seeing like Static Shiv plus Lich Bane and stuff.
And Ludens.
Yeah, and Ludens.
You have this big pop. Yeah.
And they just like they just W forward and then QRQ you and auto you once, and it's like
it's broken. I know.
Where'd you go? You're dead.
But I'm at the point now where I'm like. I welcome something new that's broken. That's fine with me.
Yeah. But anyway, Cloud9 looked really good. If anything, I feel like we all have them number one in power rankings. I feel like they're even more number one now, it looked like, because to me, their biggest competition I thought was going to be FlyQuest, and FlyQuest was a big flop. Mm-hmm. I feel like...
And like TL and EG, maybe.
TL and EG. TL, I will give them some credit. They also ramped into it a lot. Like, I fought their first game, even though they were way up. They were up really big in game number one. But then they still, like... They were losing back-to-back-to-back team fights with like a 6-7 AK gold lead, and I was like, this is not it.
It's the same team from spring, you thought. You're like, they're up 10K, they're dead at Dragon.
Then they still got the win, and then the next consecutive wins were better.
We're a lot better.
But I agree, it's you're not going to be like, oh, yeah, the problems were solved, right? The problems are still...
Game 2 and 3 were a lot cleaner, though, so yeah. I will at least give them credit. And their early game definitely seems monstrous, and I just saw some of them around the studio and stuff. They just looked happy. And a lot of times when I saw...
Wins will do that for you.
They will. But that's important, right? Because it's like a lot of times when I would run into them or even when we did dive with them, they just were not feeling it, right? Like things were going bad. You're obviously going to be stressed. Like the environment is going to be way worse. So like if you can get that momentum going, especially for a team that is like already a really good early game team and you build that confidence, I think it could help a lot.
Yeah, and they definitely want to be a fun team too. Like a lot of the players' personalities are very troll and funny. And I think like just being depresso losing all the time like sucks. It's not fun to lose, but it's also like
fresh.
A lot of these guys wanted to do more content and stuff like that from what I understand last split and even this split. So it's good that they get the 3-0. And then also the fact that their third win was basically the most dominant win ever in terms of like gold lead created. It was the biggest gold lead ever at 14 in LCS.
Yeah,
it was 10.8K at 14 minutes.
Yeah, when I was casting it, I called it out as probably being
we all ever. Looked it up at the same time before. It was like, this is insane.
Because I was just watching the game, I'm like, what the hell is happening? Like, it was literally almost a 1K gold lead like per minute, right? It was like at I remember we're 13 minutes in and they were almost 10K up, and then it's like if you just delete the minute and a half where there's not even minions. It's basically a 1K lead per minute. That is just absurd.
And they still took longer than 1647.
So it was a real
gotta shape up that mid game. Real weak mid game right there.
No, the takeaway is that Mad Lions are butt.
I will say I want to see Team Liquid. I'm pretty sold that they're better than Spring. I think Team Liquid was better than Spring. I think I put them 6. I don't remember where you guys put them. It's probably going to end up being low.
They're going up.
They're probably going up.
Yep.
I still want to see them in a close game because all three of the games were extremely dominant. And the question was not that they didn't have good early games. It's nice that they're still cleaner than last split, so definitely better. But, you know, can they win games against tough teams in close situations where you actually have to outplay in mid to late game? And their schedule wasn't, like, so brutal to start out. It was TSM, 100 Thieves, and IMT, so they do have to play some of the other like expected top dogs soon.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting though because like Immortals actually had like Immortals obviously got super clapped today, but they are coming off of back to back wins. So it was 2-2-0 teams going in. The first game from Immortals was obviously really good. So it's like it's just hard to know what the strength of schedule even means.
It's topsy-turvy right now.
It's super topsy-turvy. And I think it's also just more weird because obviously there was the LCS got pushed back a couple weeks because of the lockout stuff and the negotiations. So, you know, some teams are coming off MSI, had more time. Some teams still don't even have all their players. Like Quid wasn't even here for 100 Thieves. They were playing with their coach. You know, so there's still like obviously visa issues and travel issues and so on. Mm-hmm. So it's tough to know what to take from strength of schedule. But I was definitely impressed with TL. you know, they had a really, really good start. And even though they're obviously known for their early game, I feel like it's been a while since Summit was really kind of looked at as this, like, big star. You know, it really feels like throughout all of spring, even though everyone acknowledged his laning phase was really good, he didn't really have a lot of amazing complete games. Like, there was a lot of games where it's like his laning was almost always good, but then he'd make a mistake. And he won Player of the Week. So, like, almost unanimously, it seemed like massively in his favor. I can't really remember him getting that kind of credit and those kind of accolades since he was here on Cloud9.
MVP split.
Exactly, yeah. Right? Like, so if he can kind of return to form like that, that is definitely going to be huge for him as well.
Yeah, run back the MVP split. And it's starting out that way for sure. And Pjosic playing quite well in the jungle for him.
His Lee Sin game?
Like, really, really well. Even the Sejuani one before that,
yep.
I thought he was such a massive difference maker, even though Sejuani's not a star champion. He did a lot, a lot for the team. So that's why I mentioned TL and EG as my, like, you know, ones that I came away with really positive stuff. Mm-hmm. For the Immortals one, even though they were also 2-1, the other win coming back from 10,000.
Yeah, the NRG win.
And 75 gold.
It was sketchy.
They lost the Nexus turret.
Yeah,
Tactical
yeah.
played extremely well. Tactical, he was aggressive. It was really nice to see him popping off. And Tactical has been playing well, but it is one of those wins where you're like, okay, technically you got the W in the record, but like that game was not
actually
good.
Kind of a loss.
Yeah. So I mean, they're still more impressive than anyone expected out of Immortals coming in. Treats has been nice to see. Solo, the whole team, Belulu, still playing Vel'Koz a little bit, but also having other good performances. Like, I don't know if there's anything more to say about Immortals. It was just nice to see.
Well, we kind of jumped ahead before. Like, I want to still touch a little bit more on TL.
Yeah. Because,
we talked about this, I think it was at the end of last split, where we, at the end of spring, I honestly couldn't remember. Like, I didn't have a single standout game from Pjosic in my head. Not saying they didn't have any good games, but there were none that were just, like, you know, kind of burned into your brain where people have those huge games. And I feel like he already had one of those. Like, his Lee Sin game to me was so good. How he played around Vision and how he was actually, like, you know, constantly being able to actually sneak around. Like, he uses this ward hop over the Dragon Pit to invade Red Buff and then uses the same ward for a repeat gank. Ward hops over knowing that there was Vision in the Tri-Brush and then cues to the Krugs and then wraps around and ganks for a dive. And, like, dude, it was just really, really cool to see him, you know, across the map, actually coordinating better with his team. I think it was in the first game, he still had some ones where it was like he was way ahead of the team. But that, to me, is just going to be the biggest thing. If these guys can actually get on the same page in the mid game, they could be, like, really, really good.
Yeah, and that has been our story for the entirety of this roster.
Yeah.
Ever since this roster got put together, that's been the question mark that even in the games, when you're casting TL games, I'm used to being like, all right, here's their 3,000 gold lead. Yep, knew that was coming, but are they going to be able to keep it, right? And stuff like that. I will say, with the Pjosic one too, the coordination on the dive with Summit on topside, where they just both kills,
then he
flashes in, they fight their way all the way back out top two, and then he gets the tower, and you're just like, oh my god, this is so monstrously over, and he hasn't even played Kindred yet, so
he's never going to. There's no way. It was like permaban against him before it was OP.
Yeah.
This is like Kenvy and Pjosic are like our two most notorious Kindred players. Obviously, Blabber's really good at it. But Blabber has so many different champions that he's known for being really good at that he doesn't just get target banned on one champion unless it's like Olaf meta. But when you look at what was banned against these guys in spring, most banned champion against like both these teams was Kindred, if I recall correctly. It was for sure against Immortals. So I'm going to double check on TL. But with it being this good, there's just no shot they're going to play it the whole split.
Unless
it gets nerfed.
Unless we had one today where they failed to lock in a ban.
That's a Kindred ban.
Yeah, it was our last game that we were casting.
Yeah.
And they failed to lock in a ban. Boom, that could happen. You know?
Yeah, I guess so. And in the meantime, Blabber is playing the DRX skin. So at least he's getting some representation through that.
Blabber gets the pass because, he didn't do himself the disservice of getting labeled as like
a one trick
or a...
It was most banned against TL, by the way, as well in spring. It was Kindred.
All right, moving ahead to EG, the 2-1 team. I'm actually really excited about this because...
JoJo's back, baby!
JoJo's back, right. But also just North American talent. Like, a lot of guys who are slept on a little bit. Armao, oh my god, Armao looked really good. Yep. I think he's someone who has been doing well in the academy slash challenger scene for a while now.
He's been top of academy inarguably for what, like 3 years?
Yeah, at
it's,
least.
It's just that whenever he came up to the LCS in the past,
he didn't do that well.
Exactly.
But it, a lot of the times it was like he was like subbed into positions and not like just given the keys. Like there was the Grig, I was in the year he was Grig, but he was playing with Acadia and they were swapping between the two. Then there's when he subbed in for Santorin when he was having migraines. It wasn't like he was handed the keys to a team and it's like, it's just you, buddy. Yep. And so, like, I think he has that here. I think he's gotten better. I think, you know, Ayla stepping back and, you know, getting off whatever the hell's going on with FlyQuest. Revenge has been basically the best North American talent top laner for the past couple of years. You can debate Fudge. He's Licorice. Osh. You know exactly what you want to talk about with him.
Licorice as well, right?
Licorice bounced back. But, you know, like, Revenge is someone who is recent and excited. JoJo's the best North American mid laner for a while. There's, like, a lot of reasons to be really excited about this team. And then Unforgiven is just good. And I'm glad that he's not in Challenger for no reason.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the team is exciting. You know, I was, like, most excited about JoJo's return to form just because he was so disappointing in spring after how good he was last year for his rookie year. Like, when I remember thinking, you know, coming into the second year, like, there was these promos and stuff, and he's like, I'm going to win the MVP. And I'm like, yeah, you probably are. You could do that. And then in spring, it was just such a flop, right? And really did not work out. And then you come off of that, NEG dumped their entire roster except for him. And you're like, I just could easily have seen the world in which JoJo just kind of like fades away, you know, or like, you know, you get stuck on a bad team and you're not playing as well and people forget about you. But it was really cool to see him come out. I thought he should be in the running for sure for player of the week. His first two games were amazing. Most of his third game was also amazing. He had some flubs at the end of it for sure. But I thought he had a really, really incredible week. And it was good to see him have a great week playing his style where he's playing really aggressively. You know, he's flashing forward. He's looking for plays. Because that's something that you don't want a player like that to lose.
Yeah. The Gragas game, he straight up won the whole game.
Yeah, that was a crazy game. Yeah.
Actually just outplaying everyone that ever came onto his screen. So, and that's one of the reasons when we did our power ranking episode, even though we had them pretty low, I was like, I can see this team overperforming of people's expectations, because expectations for EG blowing up such a good roster and then getting so many of these players and just trying to scrap them together at the last second, and especially ones with like reputations like Armeo and stuff, you're not going to have super high expectations. But I could see, you know, the possibilities. I didn't think it was going to be like this and, you know, and blast them out of the water. But like JoJo, we knew over grinding in Korea very quick up to the top of Korean Challenger solo queue. So I was like hoping that this type of fire would be the case.
It's only 1 week, so who knows? But, yeah, like, it's a very promising first week. And it, like I said, with just the amount of challenger talent that has been around, it's like, man, what would happen if, like, that old TLA roster where Harry and Yam were the carries on it were, like, still just, like, brought up as five with Bradley? You know, it's like, given that Harry and Yam are doing okay, you know, like, I don't think they're setting the world on fire, but they're on the 3-0 team with Team Liquid. And, you know, Summit's more of a standout. Pioshik's more of a standout. But they also looked better as well. So, I don't know. It's just cool to see some of these guys getting shots again.
And I think it's also vindicating for a lot of people who are really big into the NACL scene. Because I know that, like, when you talk to casters and when you talk to coaches, and there's a lot of people in the academy scene who have felt that there are a number of guys who have kind of been snubbed or overlooked over the years. And these are some of them. Mm-hmm. Armeo definitely, you know, Spawn was tweeting, like, oh, you know, I thought these guys weren't LCS caliber. You know, like, what happened?
Was he?
Yeah, right? Like, you know, that kind of stuff. Because he was coaching them when they were on TL. And I know he felt strongly that, you know, there were some of these guys that were in academy were better than a number of different LCS players. So it is cool to see them get their shot, and especially like you're saying, when it's actually them, like, being given that starting spot, right? It's not like a sub in situation, mm-hmm, or anything like that. I also think that helps Ayla a lot, because Ayla's position was really weird when you come back into this team that's doing super well without you. And then I think the pressure is going to feel really on. You're late a couple weeks, you haven't been practicing with the team, things start going bad. I can see how things with FlyQuest went really bad for him and kind of like snowballed pretty quickly, right? And then your teammates lose faith in you because you're messing up, and that's tough to come back from.
And sometimes when that stuff happens and there's just little things that add up, that some are not in your control, then even if you're not, you know, gonna play worse originally, it starts to creep into your mind and you start to second guess yourself on so many things that you wouldn't have before.
Yeah, exactly. So it's good to see these guys getting their shot. EG definitely, you know, was up a bit for me. Do you want to move on to Immortals?
I mean, I said my piece on Immortals. I'm happy. Is anyone wants to add anything?
I mean, I'm happy to add. I mean, I think Immortals, even though it was like a pretty sketchy win against Energy for sure, and then they got slammed in their last game. I still am pretty happy with how this team looks compared to what I was expecting, just because I think it's the question I had that was my biggest question for these guys is like, who's the person who's actually supposed to win you games? And I did feel like at least for week one, that kind of got answered, is that it's supposed to be tactical, and that's the guy that they can kind of build into. Game three was rough. Obviously, a lot of it was that jungle interference and Pioshek having an incredible game and kind of just stomping them bot. But I do think if tactical can like be consistent and him and Treats can be a strong bot lane and he can be that win condition, then Immortals are going to get wins, right? Like, I don't think they're going to be a top team, but they're going to get wins and they could be potentially like solidly middle of the pack because we kind of know what we're going to get from solo. We kind of like Bolulu has been pretty solid. And especially if he's, you know, comfortable on more different champions, that's going to help a lot. The game's about bot lane. If your bot lane's playing well, you're going to have chances.
And Tactical tweeted, I forget after which game, either the second one or the third one, but he was tweeting himself like, good mental tactical, look what he's capable of. Mm. And, you know, we also know, you know, during his peaks, they were very, very high. Oh, yeah. One of the most hyped up, you know, up and coming North American talents when he was still coming up and then getting to play with Corja J and Team Liquid and stuff like that.
Yep.
So the hype is still, I feel like they're like hibernating. And it feels like,
if you will.
It feels like it feels like he is ready to pop it back out, and he feels like he is in a good mental space, and him tweeting about it and even recognizing that there is that variation, I think is a positive thing. Him and Treats have always been really close. Yep. They've played together a lot. I feel like even though there have been some mistakes from Treats, you know, him coming over really recently, there's definitely still some more time there. I think Treats can play better than what he showed this week.
Yep.
And so I definitely do have some high hopes for that duo.
Absolutely.
All right, 1 and 2 teams. What of them are you most excited? That's where the big clump is right now.
Most excited?
Five teams.
When you say most
two.
Excited, are you talking about like preseason expectations versus
just
reality, or just like
most excited?
Just what are you most excited to talk about from the one?
Golden
and
Guardians, teams? Just because I think the Licorice game was really fun to watch. I was just excited casting that game, the Yone game, because it's just something different. It was just like, thank God, right? Like, we're actually like, we talked about this after where Hullbreaker's so annoying to play against, but it was fun to watch, right? Like, I got stumped by a Hullbreaker game last night. I was feeling tilted after that. I was playing with Rafa and we played against a Hullbreaker Scion and I laned bad and then he got way ahead and he's just ignoring three of us under the tower, killing the tower with his zombie. And I'm like, the fuck do I do?
Exactly. Personally, I hate that item playing against it, but from a viewing standpoint, when I didn't have to be in there, it was pretty funny. Me and Flowers were watching it in the back room, yelling about it, and Flowers is like, he's not even building crit. Yone's got all his bonus crit stuff. Yeah. Where's the crit? I'm like, he doesn't need it. You know, like, Blade of the Ruin King has always worked so insanely well with his kit. It's been a rush item on a lot of builds.
Yep.
But to fully ignore the crit for the entirety of the build,
tank mythic,
and just go tank after that, it's like, wow. And he's still trashing the back line when he eventually even joined for team fights and he's not even using the Hullbreaker stats. And he's like, all right, I'm done trashing their base and stuff. Now daddy's here. I'm coming to like destroy the rest of them in a team fight. Yone ults their back line too. You're like, whoa.
That's where I was like, okay, the first two items, I'm like, interesting. I've seen, you know, different versions where you do Bork into like,
you've seen
Jack
Show.
No, like Bork Jack Show. Like, there's a lot of carries who do that, and then they build even more damage. But you get like the Jack Show like kind of thing, or whatever. But then to go Hullbreaker.
Well, he went Hullbreaker
then,
second.
I know. Then he went Iceborne Gauntlets, and I was like, just go Gale Force or something. Like, you're already winning the side lane. But then seeing that he was actually still fine in team fights, so I was worried that you like over indexed into
still
like,
has enough damage.
Yeah, I was like, fine. When you show up, are you gonna? I didn't think he would have one shot. Backline potential, really, which it turned out he still did.
And if, to be fair, it's like it's not like one shot backline damage, but it's enough. And especially since he's taking
enough.
They
can't one shot you, so you can stay in.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so that's where I was like, oh, okay, this is actually fine. I was worried that like, okay, you're really annoying and it's hard to kill you in a side lane, but like, but it was actually funny. And then like the fact that in the interview afterwards, I don't know if you caught it, but he was like, first timed it. He was kind of just messing around.
Who told him? Because he
River.
He was like, River told me to build Hullbreaker, so I did. Never did it before. He just said like, Gragas can't clear creeps, you know, with the buff on it. Yeah, so it's like, makes sense, but he was clearly winging it.
Yep. Tanks really struggle against Hullbreaker because you can't kill the cannon minion.
See, even I struggle against those stupid.
I mean, for sure.
Like, I hate this item so much.
If you're playing like Fjord or something, you get ahead of the Hullbreaker person, then they can't even get your tower, or whatever, right? Yeah. But like, you have to have really good wave clear to deal with the cannon minion because cannon minion is so goddamn tanky with Hullbreaker. It's crazy. So I just thought it actually made a lot of sense to me. And even the tank mythic, I thought was kind of smart because it's just like you hit this critical mass of. You don't care about anything Gragas does anymore. Like, literally nothing he can do to you. You're just walking past him. You pop your E, you walk into the tower, and you just auto the tower in his face. And, like, he took multiple turrets that way, you know, knocked down the bot lane and Hib for that Baron trade and stuff. It was just a cool game to see.
Yeah. And at that point, like, you don't actually need more damage. You're making more time. So, yeah, a couple of times, they send 3-4 people at him. But he can make so much time down there. Yep. And they have to invest so much, your team ends up getting even more than that on the other side of the map. And so you're just, it puts the other team in what I feel like is a very frustrating choice to make with this kind of lose-lose situation where then you get these exciting to watch when they're rare games. Yeah. If it became only that style, then it would get boring real quick. But that's why, as a viewer, you know, it's fun.
Variety is the important thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, and for Golden Guardians, it was also against FlyQuest, who was the only 0-3 team, like we said. They did lose their other two games, but it was C9 and EG, who were sneaky pretty good. So I don't know how you feel about Golden Guardians. I was disappointed to see them at 1-2 and 0-2 heading into the day.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm actually too stressed about this team. Like, I don't think they're going to get super sad and, like, tilted off a somewhat weak.
They're definitely a strong mental team. They already showed that. They already came on and talked about it at length. So I definitely agree. I think they are a strong mental team.
I talked to some of their coaches in the entrance and stuff in the lobby when I was actually, like, leaving after my first cast. And, you know, they seem like they're chilling. They're like, yeah, we were kind of trolling in a lot of these games. Like, even last game we were trolling, whatever. But, like, you know, like, just felt good that they got their last win and they could end the weekend on a positive note, stuff to build from, etc. So I think it's cool. You know, it was just a lot of fun to cast a game like that because, yes, even when people pick Split Push, I feel like I can't even remember the last game that I personally cast where it was people hard committing to Split Push. It's always just push and move, right? Like, you play Fiora and you shove in the side lane and then you come to the team fight.
And to be fair, he did end up team.
He did end up.
he couldn't win with Split Push.
I'm like, I would say you still haven't casted one of those.
But for a long time, he was hard.
he split more than we're used to.
Way more.
Yeah.
And in their face, killing the towers and stuff. So it was fun. I thought that was an exciting game. Yeah, of course they're not going to be happy to start 1-2.
Yeah. If we keep on moving on to another
1-2, any of the 1-2s.
Another one. I was going to pick energy because your point about getting the win at the end and having some positive to look at moving into the week of practice, I think is really big. And that was necessary for energy. That's why I was talking about them on stage and I was like, they looked so pissed during the first two losses. They're like, we should not be losing. And especially the 10,000 gold lead one. Yeah.
That one's worse than getting the perfect game almost.
Exactly. Because you actually get a dopamine buildup in anticipation of getting a win. it's true. And then when you don't get it, you have a depletion. It goes below baseline. So there's science behind you. It actually does feel worse.
So keep your expectations low so you never get the dopamine.
It does.
In the
end. Exactly. There is chemistry behind why it does feel worse to you know, have a game loss like that instead of being behind the whole time and knowing that you're going to lose.
Exactly.
But that's why this win was so, I felt like, big for them because there's over 100 Thieves who themselves had a good opening showing with their one game. But then, you know, of course, they also are going to be included in this one and two teams, and they're not going to be too happy about that. But it was a big one, I felt like, and well played from Energy to be able to really stomp like this. Contracts did not die a single time, and he's on a squishy assassin. I feel like that is very rare. This man is like,
that's your boy. What are you doing to him?
He's my boy. He
always ends.
My boy had the record for most deaths in a split for a long time. And he was proud of it. Yeah. And my boy fucking popped off. Assassin, zero deaths, Kha'Zix. So it was, I feel like it was
a great game.
It was definitely a necessary
I mean, you could not have a worse start. Getting perfect game and then throwing a 10K gold lead is like,
well, and the fact that this one was so clean, it's like, okay, maybe
if you went 0-3 and you included those two and then you lost again, then it's like, well, that gold lead that they got was bad. But now you're like, well,
copium, well, they would normally.
We could be two. We should have been 2-1. Exactly. So it's like totally different between what it could have been. So a 1-2, but I think generally pretty happy with them. They also, like, I think immediately after the games were pretty upset, but then the next days I've always seen them seem to bounce back, and they were doing like their little intros that whenever they show up at the studio, if you've missed it, they're always doing something. Some of them I'm like, huh? And some of them are pretty good.
I just like that they're trying stuff. Yeah. Energy's coming in the league. You guys should follow their Twitter account. They're doing like lots of league
all
content.
The team's socials.
Yep.
Go follow them.
And they're doing lots of like meme tweets and stuff.
All of them, Mark.
Doing lots of meme tweets, and they're trying some stuff, some fun stuff with the intros and whatnot, yeah, right? Like, yeah. It's just fun to see people out there having fun and trying.
And it's a snowball effect because lots of the teams are doing it now. You know, we had the dunking one, we had Team Liquid coming in, and they had the tactical one, because tactical, you know, was
the, getting
was
a Santa Monica police car was the one where I was like, where did you get that? Like, was that a real police car?
Like,
did they
rental.
Like?
Or something. Get like a
decal you slapped on there.
It was funny to me because I was like, all right, FBI uses just the all black tinted windows cars.
It was pretty funny to be like, I'm with the FBI, and I'm like, but
that's just
parking.
It's okay, we'll let them have it, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. He tried. But you know, definitely fun to see. I want to know, what is your guys' immediate gut response? Did they get better or worse with the bot lane change?
Energy?
Yes.
Better.
I think better, but
so given that they got fourth in spring, let's put
from
it
the
as,
gut, Mark. From well, the
that,
gut.
So that's why it's hard for me. So like, I feel like they're generally like a fourth, fifth place team. I don't know if it's any different. Like FBI looked really good. There were games where Luger looked good as well, and like
really good.
They're always inconsistent. It's like they're a team that will like smash people and then get smashed, and then they're
is
like
FBI though. Is he inconsistent?
I don't. I mean, people. This is not my opinion of him, but I know some people have the opinion where he gets that 15-kill game, but he loses it, and people get upset at him for getting picked off in situations or, like, not doing what they think other 80 carries would have done in that situation. So I know there is a contingent of people who think he's overrated, and when given, like, big leads like that, he can't carry the way that they want him to. I'm not saying that's me, but I know that that's some people's perception.
For part of the reason why my answer was instant was because I put a lot of emphasis on what your teammates say, and the teammates are pretty overwhelmingly positive change mm-hmm. on him, both in comms and in game as well. So we only have a small sample size of this 1 week and three games on stage, yeah. But for the teammates to be pretty solid around it, I think speaks volumes. So
absolutely.
So that's why I'm like, I think the team overall looks kind of like CLG.
You know, slight upgrade.
Yeah, it's like slight upgrade. They're still energy. They're still going to have some games where they mm-hmm. and like, I don't know.
Yep, it'll be interesting. TSM, we can hop to. They went 1-2 as well. A bunch of people are tagging me in their like victory tweets as though I like want this team to go 0-18 or something.
Good riddance.
It's definitely because the good riddance tweet.
Yeah.
But we've been talking about this on the dive. Like, I don't know why people equate me being pissed with a decision that the owners made with not liking the players or the coaches or anyone working for the team. I actually like a lot of those guys, right? Like there's nothing that I have against them. So we both have them 10th, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I still think they're probably going to be around 10th, right? Like that.
What if they keep Insanity instead, though?
I mean, I think that's actually an upgrade.
Yeah.
For sure. And so that's the other thing I was going to get to is that it's funny because it's like I think Ruby is a lot worse than Insanity. I was not impressed by him at all. I think Insanity is pretty underrated and is another one of those guys that a lot of the Academy folks have been like, he's stuck in Academy jail forever. He should be in LCS.
Yeah.
And so I think that they are a better team with him. And so I'm not shocked that they got a win. I will say I think their drafts were butt. And like I don't think that they're
this, especially this last one.
The early Malphite stuff.
But weren't they just doing Malphite? Like it was all three games, right?
All three games of Malphite.
And it didn't look good at all in any game to me. And it's like this is a very punishable pick. Malphite is a great response pick to like a Jace or a whatever. Yeah.
But they would take it like
they're just
like
blinding
third.
It and yeah, stuff. Yeah.
Except like the FlyQuest game where Prince didn't flash Malphite ults twice when he did have flash ready for them.
Yeah, and he died with ult up a lot. I felt like was on his Zygaine.
Maybe that's contributing to overvaluing the Malphite. So yeah. Like, look,
Prince died.
Blasted them with it.
Prince did not have a good weekend. No one on FlyQuest did. But like TSM, I think were not bad.
Yeah, they were very close to getting to 2-1. Yep. It was like their games were competitive. Insanity looked very good. I think the team as a whole looked solid. Like everyone seemed to have a role within the team that made sense. And so that's why I think a lot of people are like, just keep Insanity. Like this is better than what people were expecting from this roster. Uh-huh. And so there's this concern that like when Ruby comes, if he can actually step in or not, I don't know.
And you could also just like improve the drafts, right? Like I don't think that they need to have Haunter.
Haunter's a one trick now, man. I don't know if you've seen him.
Haunter.
He's trying to become Malphite IRL. He's like swole.
He's already there. I forget if it was Jat or Flowers, but they're like, I think he's the strongest LCS like player in the LCS. And I was like, yeah, I would gut answer for sure that.
Yeah, especially pound for pound, if you start like equating for that. Uh-huh. Even maybe just straight up.
I think even straight up, even with.
I mean, who else would be stronger? There's not a lot of like Jack like, guys.
I don't know. LCS. Like Fudge is bigger than him. Like Fudge is just a big, like he's huge. So like.
And Cloud9 does have the workout.
Fudge has got some big arms.
They have the workout
like,
systems.
It depends what you're, like we should get a deadlift set up in here. Or like a squat rack.
I don't think anyone's gonna want to challenge Haunter.
We don't know that.
Also, if you have people who have never done squats or deadlift well, like not, that, those are dangerous. We're not gonna hurt themselves.
We're not gonna ask the unathletic pros to do it. Just like be like, oh look, he only did 135.
Someone comes in, they're like, oh, I'll try. You're like,
it's opt-in
no,
basis.
This is not for
it's,
you.
It's opt-in. We'll have someone making sure they're doing the right form. Some of us lift, you know,
opt-in
we vaguely
with
know.
The ability to deny.
We'll get the belt on the back so you don't throw it. Your back out, you know, okay. Straight up. Just do one deadlift and we'll make a power ranking.
Exactly. But my point was, he doesn't need to be a Malphite one trick. He didn't even play it a single time in spring. So it's like, I guess they just have a read that's really strong right now. I think Jhin is super garbage. Like so good.
Yeah, I kept saying it, but I was like, on 13-10, it was really good.
Yeah.
With the broken Gale Force and Stormraiser combo, yeah. It was really good.
Yeah.
You could run around 10,000 miles as an AD carry blasting people.
Dude, ARAM Jhin on that patch was
especially against tanks and stuff. It's so tough. I always feel like if you want to play Jhin in a tank
that was in the two,
you have to pair it with like a Cassio or an Azir or like a something.
And they have Ahri,
exactly.
Another pick champion.
Something that has to kill the tank because otherwise you just hit 20 minutes into the game and the Ornn or whatever it is, Sejuani, is just walking into your ult and you're not even hurting them.
I mean, that also happened even in the EG game where JoJo was fed but like playing into a bunch of tanks and he had to just like start suiciding, trying to like get onto the back line and like go one for one with the enemy carry. So like, yeah, Ahri is in a weird place. Like she's strong, but if you get outscaled by like a lot of tanks that people are slamming on top side that... you can end up pretty weak. And that kind of felt
can't
like...
You fight front to back. You're more limited.
Yeah. So that kind of felt like TSM's problem a little bit. We'll see if they can adapt in draft.
Yeah.
I think the one that I'm most excited to talk about has to be...
more positive on TSM than I was.
Look at...
They're moving up.
They're moving up.
I'm excited to talk about 100 Thieves. If only... If only because after...
The day of the duck.
The day of the duck happened, day one, and they beat FlyQuest, and everyone thought FlyQuest was still good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got so much shit talked my way because I put them seventh, you know?
I tweeted you about this, and then I told you after it, and it's great, too, because then if one of these start losing, you can quote retweet and
yeah, it was
me.
Like, I don't care about that stuff. That's just funny, but, like, on, like, the post-match thread of that one, it was, like, just all over the place that was conversation was going on. And I was like, listen, I don't hate these guys. So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'm happy to be wrong.
Yeah.
But like when there's just like this day one, like this guy's an idiot coming from everyone. I'm like, well, then I hope I'm right way more now so I can rub it back in your faces. So like I don't want 100 Thieves to be bad, but if they lost every game.
If they are,
if
I
they
would
lost
be happy.
Every single game for the rest of the season, I'd be stoked. I love those guys. I don't want this to happen. But if it did,
if
fans,
their careers are absolutely decimated
no,
by this
no,
split
no,
being
no,
historically
no,
bad.
No, no, not the players.
I love this.
No,
but I love those guys. Great guys.
On the real, I'm just saying, like, I don't care at the end of the day, but just day one overreactions are always so funny to me because it's like,
of course,
you don't know what's going to happen. And like, if it's joking, I don't care. Yeah. If people are like, you're an idiot because this, and it's like, well, actually, FlyQuest is just the worst team in the league and you beat them. Like, okay.
Yeah.
That's actually the takeaway now because they didn't look that great. Like, a lot of the problems that I felt like this team had and why I put them low, I think you're seeing them in some of the later games that happened where they just didn't do that much. And especially the third game they played where they kind of just like rolled over and died.
Yeah.
It's like that was what I was worried about. That's kind of what happened in a lot of their games mm-hmm. in spring split.
To be fair, though, like our power rankings were based on them with Quid. Right?
Mine wasn't. I knew that they were not going to have Quid, and this was before the walkout, so I thought that they would have 2 to 3 weeks without Quid.
Me putting them where they was based on Quid, and I even said that in
both of us did.
Well, I also said that I didn't think Quid was going to revitalize the team, and that's something that we're still jury's out on.
We'll have to see, right? And it is tough when you're coming in late and everything.
Yep.
But like, so what I will say is Nuke Duck did fine in lane, right? He kind of got pushed in, but he farmed well. It's clear the guy was a pro, like, you know, and
he was not a problem at all.
He did more than Vikla. Yeah. I mean, again, we're coming back to a FlyQuest game, and FlyQuest stocks have plummeted.
They're
actually intent in the dirt.
We'll get to that.
So we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But
he also, like, what I was going to say is that he also was not a source of, like, productivity at all for them in the games that they lost, right? And that was something that really hurt. I still felt like... I felt like 100 Thieves bot lane looked pretty good, you know, even in this last game.
Their second game was good.
Their second game was pretty good. Their first game was really good. Even this game, the Zeri game today that they lost, it's like they're getting dove and they're getting a kill and a 2v3. It felt like Doublelift was the only hope for them to do anything in that game because, to your point, they were doing nothing proactive. So that was kind of a positive takeaway. I still thought the bot lane looked solid. But, yeah, definitely some problems. I don't think Closer had a great week. I think... Someday had a good game one, like a really good game one. Mm-hmm. But again, now that FlyQuest had such a bad week, it is hard to know, like, what does it mean that they look so good in game one? Because they did look so good in game one.
Yeah, and that game one, though, like, you have to use your eyes to see, like, what happened. And it's like, okay, so the Renekton goes for an invade to shove the Maokai out of a camp. Gromp. He's just trying to shove him off a camp. Yeah. And, like, rather than just, like, lose flash, Speaker gives first blood to the Renekton and falls massively behind because then Closer counter jungles.
But did he
get
the Gromp? I can't remember.
No, he died.
No, he did not.
He didn't get the Gromp. And then Closer takes the Gromp. And so he's like 30, like 15, 20 CS down at like 6 minutes. And like that game was a disaster.
Yeah, it was.
And like, not to say that 100 Thieves didn't do good things to make that happen, but like they got so much more off some of the plays that happened than you're supposed to get in that situation.
And like even the turnaround dive where they were trying to dive Someday top lane, Vikla missed his shock blast on the Maokai ulted.
Yeah.
Or rather, he used it before the Maokai ult landed instead of hitting the gear.
And then they like dosey dode about going in or not. And like, they played well that game. Sure. I'm not saying that like 100 Thieves can't bounce back and be better than seventh. I'm not like, I also said at the time that like the middle of the pack is very up in the air for a lot of people. Yeah. So like, I wouldn't be like super worried if you're a 100 Thieves fan.
Yeah. I don't really care about this week for them that much.
No, me neither. I think it sounds like Quid's back. I think they were tweeting about it and that they're going to have
He was on stage after day one.
Yeah. He's been tweeting. So. Yeah.
So I'm excited to see if he can give them some more, like to the point about like Doublelift has looked good so far this split. They need
excited,
a little bit more
huh,
help.
Buddy?
I'm excited.
Yeah. Did you see that?
I just hope they lose every game.
I'm excited for them to take fat L's. Did you see that he tweeted that like his picture out the window or whatever? And everyone memeing it, saying like the 100 Thieves put him in the hood and stuff. And, like,
wait, what? The Quid tweeted this?
Yeah, he's like,
I didn't see
he's
this
like,
at
first
all.
First morning in America. And people are like, what the hell? Like, where did the 100 Thieves put you? I didn't think it looked bad, personally.
I'm looking this up right now.
But it was just funny. Like, people were quote tweeting it, like, 100 Thieves got Quid in the hood and stuff like that.
I mean, I assume it's somewhere in Culver, though.
Yeah, like I don't think it just was by like a highway or something. I don't know. It looked like
hey, this looks fine.
It looks fine.
I think a lot of people don't know what Los Angeles looks like. Yeah. This is like, it gets worse. Boring. It gets a lot worse.
I thought it looked completely fine. But it was just funny, so I mentioned it. But 100 Thieves, yeah, we'll have to see, right? Even next week, because they weren't scrimming with Quid, they were actually scrimming with Nuke Duck the last couple weeks. So even next week, we'll be kind of a little bit up in the air as to what we're really going to get. But hopefully for them, they can kind of hit the ground running. I think, you know, as far as my power rankings, I could easily see them finishing below where I thought because they obviously didn't have Quid for week one. They didn't get scrims with him. So he's either going to have him for week two, but they're not going to be practiced. So it's really hard to see where they're going to be. But at least bot lane was a bright spot. And I think we know that Someday is going to do Someday things. He's been pretty consistent his whole career.
Yeah. My probably biggest takeaways for week one adjusting our power rankings is FlyQuest way down.
Mm-hmm.
And EG.
EG up. TL. TL
EG
as well,
up significantly.
Right?
And TL, so I think up. I think EG had more room to go up, and so I think the gains for me for EG were bigger. But the TL ones are also up. It's just that you still have those kind of hanging little doubts about mid and late game choices, but it definitely seems to be that progress that they laid out for themselves as being a summer team and them going over and doing the work at MSI and stuff like that is definitely improved.
Yep, absolutely. So, I mean, that's definitely exciting. So Digg is the other 1-2 team we have not touched on yet. They got blasted by Immortals and C9.
Rich is good. Rich looking good, though.
Even in those blastings, Rich
I was talking shit about Hots, you know?
He's the Hots GOAT, baby. Bring it back.
He's the Hots GOAT, though.
How about his Hots games? Let's get up some highlights.
I wish I knew some Hots champions to, like, say that he's on to, like, make him.
I played about 4 games of Heroes of the Storm before I got
never even installed.
I never even played a single
didn't
one.
Didn't look at it.
I looked at it. I watched a game online, and I was like, that is boring.
I saw it in the Blizzard launcher. That's about it.
I played with one of the designers of it, and he was really keen on it. And he's like, oh, what you think? I'm like, oh, yeah. Want to play some League?
You're like, sorry, I have to go. I feel sick all of a sudden.
I played about 3 or 4 games with him, and then I never logged on again. So I think he understood.
Yeah. Rich, though, came from the scene. Looks great.
I did feel bad for him in, I think it was the second game loss or something. Mm-hmm. And, like, the game against Cloud9.
He was getting up Fudge a little bit.
He beats, when Fudge tries to go for the tower dive and then doesn't get the auto on him, and, you know, he outplays there, and then he gets another kill later in the
double
game.
Double solo kill.
The whole rest of the team is on fire. I was like, oh, man, I feel bad for him. And then this game, they win today, and it just felt so much, you know, vindication, especially because we played that Dignitas video that they made with their Hots playing manager had a lot of that connection with him and really
the other guy that plays
emphasize that team fighting. How was your team fighting after you played your 3 games of Hots? Was it quickly improved?
Yeah.
Don't answer that. That is a rhetorical question.
I love Rich. I will say this team still scares me a little bit. The 2 losses were pretty rough, and the win over EG did have, like, it felt like it was in EG's hands a little bit. There were some not super clean fights. Rich played every situation very well and kept it closer, but, like, it didn't feel like there was that much help around him in a lot of situations.
I was seeing a lot of, like, Rich V9, get Rich a team and stuff, like, already. I was like, wow, people are, like, on this train fast.
Well, yeah, because it looked like they should have been 0-3 if not for him. So, like, I still think there's questions about Santorin and Jensen, who didn't look super good this weekend, I think.
A lot of people were roasting Jensen for the Starry game.
The first 2 ones were definitely super tragic for them. They both played a bit better in this 3rd one.
Yeah. I would say Immortals, like, I give Immortals more credit for shutting them down than, like, it was more like outplays than misplays almost. Mm-hmm. Because that was the Santorin Rek'Sai game, and he was just going mid nonstop, but, like, Immortals were roaming from top lane and jungle and support and everywhere and constantly rewarding mid. So, like, every time Rek'Sai tried to go for something mid, he had been spotted on a ward that he couldn't see. So I thought Immortals handled it really well. But, yeah, they didn't get a lot done. And that was kind of like – that was the bright spot of Digg last split was Santorin was always good for a couple kills at the start of the game. You know, like, his early pathing would always get them something and then usually would fall apart. But – yeah, Santorin.
Good for 2 plays.
Yeah.
I love it in Valo when they're always talking about, like, the lone person defending and then popping off being it's late in the long day. I don't know.
Is he clutching
Valo
something?
Valo segue. Okay.
Santorin's like a clutch.
This is about as tied in as Jet's golf segment.
Hell
today.
Yeah. We were laughing so much because he was talking so much about Ball striking and stroking and
stiff shafts.
Liquid being released and shafts. And we were whoa, someone is going to make a mashup of these.
That was his stick today. Like, the whole reason I think the golf segment exists is to say ball stroking and firm on, shaft.
He said stiff shaft about 40 times in that segment.
Yep.
On this or that, he was talking about don't put pressure on the balls or they will release the liquid.
I saw a Photoshop of that already from someone.
Oh, my God.
Moving on, unless you say anything else about Digg.
Digg, for me, kind of went down, I feel like, in my, like, estimation. And I didn't have him estimated that high just because I think even if Rich is playing well, it's not a top meta. You're not going to win that many games if your top laner is the only one playing well. So that's my big concern.
Yeah, I think I don't remember if I said it, but I was like, not. I don't think they're going to go 3-15 again. No, but like, I also don't think that they will be, you know, much different in the rankings. Yeah.
But like, if you have a Cassio on your team, you know, and you have some good ways, like we keep pointing out, like if they could get this team fight together, then, you know, they can still win. You know, their 3,000 gold still looks definitely winnable. And then they actually get it together in game and they do execute as a team for the team fight. Then, you know, they've got the other pieces to
absolutely
do better than 10th place.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely going to do better than 3 wins for sure. And Jensen, to be fair, in his interview, actually seemed relatively confident in the team.
He seems like he's chilling.
Yeah, and he seemed really positive on the team. He was like, oh, my God, it's such a breath of fresh air. We weren't going to do much with the old roster. Things are way better. So, like, hey, maybe things are really going well in scrims and are really going to get better. Tomo is definitely way better than Spawn was. Top lane looks like a significant upgrade. You know, Diamond is doing pretty well and stuff. So it's like, if... It actually is like, if Jensen and Santorin play well and return to how well they were playing last split, I feel like the team is definitely going to get more wins. But last team remaining is FlyQuest. They went 0-3. They came in. They were super confident. I had heard, you know, preseason that they were feeling really, really good about how the team was shaping up. Obviously, they added all the content. They did FlyQuest Summer, the music video where they're trash-talking all the teams. Prince is quote, tweeting our dive power rankings and saying, like, you didn't put us in first, you put us in second. You must be going to the hospital, right? Like, something, you're sick in the head. And then they come out, and they kind of just get clapped, and they look really bad. Like, there's so many things that went bad. It wasn't even like, ah, man, they just had a couple Baron throws. It was like, everything was kind of bad.
There wasn't a single bright spot, I would say. Like, your brightest spot was, like, Impact was better than...
I would say Impact.
But, like, the rest of the team was, like, just bad.
Spica made a lot of mistakes. Their coordination was really bad.
Bot lane was losing 2v2s all over the place.
They were dying Vikla left and right.
Was making mistakes, like, the worst of Vikla from spring. There's not much to, like, be positive on.
They got a 2v2 kill today early on in bottom lane, just saying. Vulcan, the Ignite, Recon Flash, boom. There's a bright spot.
Was that against? Be careful.
Don't stare at it. It might blind you.
It's that bright. I think it's actually so dark everywhere else. So you see that one pinprick.
Golden Guardians, right? That was the monster Huyent.
Yeah.
Where he just walks forward, knowing they're both in the deep.
Hey, yeah. Don't try and
sure, like context. You said, don't look too close. Don't look too close.
Exactly.
It was a bright spot. I'm with you. So yeah, like even the weirdest part for me was like Prince was mechanically bad. And that was weird. Like that was weird to see. You talked about like not flashing some of the Malphite ults and stuff.
Yeah.
But like how many times did he die with Xy ult? It felt like he kept dying with Xy ult up to like you know, to engages in the game today against Golden Guardians is like he gets hit by Yone ult or gets hit by this or that, and I'm like, this is just weird.
We didn't debut the term, but we came up with the North Americanification.
Man, don't perpetuate that.
Get that garbage out of here.
You don't like that?
I don't like that.
It's a great word. North Americanification just sounds great off the tongue.
Yeah, does it?
Yeah,
it felt terrible.
Try it.
You couldn't even get it off your tongue.
That's because he can barely say it. It's such a great word. That's
because he's too North Americanified.
North Americanification. North Americanification.
Once that's happened, you can no longer say the word.
It's a good word. I'm telling you, try it on. You'll get addicted to it.
No. That's garbage.
No, I don't want that to be true, but they were struggling a lot. And it's scary with how short the season is, how little time they have to figure it out. And when you're like...
3 games a week, your schedule goes fast.
You know what? The other thing we always talk about, the season's faster. But it's like there's also just less prep time. When one of your Wednesday is not a scrim day, it's now an on-stage day. And so, like, adapting to patches is going to be harder, ironing out problems that you're having. Like,
think fast.
Yeah. And like, if you start this bad, and they also, next week, first game against C9, their schedule is not crazy this split. This weekend. TSM and 100 Thieves were both games that were very winnable in theory that they lost. And so, like, it's just going to get harder as you play Team Liquids and EGs if they continue to be good. So It's really scary for FlyQuest right now.
Yeah, especially with how much, like, clearly, like, even just the org is putting a lot into the success of this roster, right? Like, they already were a really good team during the regular season. They were looking super hot in spring. People were expecting them, you know, to for sure make the finals. Golden Guardians obviously had that upset. Well played to them. That was a really cool series. And then they go out, and everyone was saying, yeah, Ayla's the problem, Ayla's butt. And they get arguably, you know, the best support, or at least one of the very best supports in the league in Vulcan. And it's like, goddamn, this team's going to be great, right? And the only question mark I felt like people really had coming into the split, well, I'll speak for myself, the only question mark I had was Vikla. Because Vikla had a lot of kind of like up and down games in spring. But for everyone to come out and look like they did was just really, really weird.
You're like, I expect that at Vikla, but
yeah,
the
Vikla,
rest of them,
okay.
I mean, the like doomer take that you could have had for FlyQuest before was like, back half of the split, they were dropping a lot of games. They went from, I think, what was it, like 13-1 or something? Because they started 8-0, then they lost one game to be 8-1, and then they won like three more. Maybe it's 11-1 or something. They had a pretty good first record, and if you just separate, you know, that out. But even in playoffs, they beat 100 Thieves pretty convincingly. They lost to C9. Okay, fair enough. Everyone was getting smashed by C9. And then they fought really hard against Golden Guardians, who were the clear second-best team. And they almost won that series. They had that big Malphite play that we always talk about, like, for Golden Guardians to come back. But it's like, it felt like even with their problems, they were better than the rest of the LCS. So you thought with Vulcan coming in, even if they didn't fix any, like, the core problems of this team, it wouldn't look this bad. But somehow it does.
So they started 11-1, and then they had four losses.
They finished 13-5.
Yeah.
So, or so 13, then, yeah, 13-5.
Then they went 3-4 in their last seven after starting 11-1.
So they're like a sub, they're around a 500 team through the back half of the split almost. So.
I remember them too saying that they were a little surprised that they did start out that crazy win streak.
They were even overperforming.
To begin with.
But then right after that, they 3-0'd 100 Thieves and stuff. So it wasn't like they were.
Yeah. But it definitely, to your point, it is weird what we're seeing.
It's really
out of this team.
Yeah, that's the most, it's the biggest surprise.
And not good.
For sure. And not, weird.
Like, not an
bad,
exciting.
Weird.
Yeah.
No, in a very depressing way.
Like, oh, there's 50 bucks on the ground. That's weird.
No,
it's not that. It's like someone pooped in my sock. Well, that's weird.
Vomited all over
really
my car.
Weird. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Use the toilet like a normal person.
Sorry, man, I'm just weird.
It's like, Speaka's fun, Prince is fun, Vikla's fun, Impact's fun. I want them to be good.
Is that everyone but Vulcan?
Vulcan's not fun.
Why is he not fun? He did all kinds
like
of fun content.
No, I just didn't say him. I don't know. I thought I said him. It's late.
Yeah.
Everyone on that team is someone I enjoy doing
His
content
social media
with.
Is really good too.
Yeah.
At least he plays Ayla next week on Thursday.
Did have some great lines in their video that were so fun, right? Like all the disses on the other teams in the music video, but it becomes so memeable when you make something like that and then you immediately start doing real bad.
I mean, I hope that the other teams will take their opportunities and like cut those pieces out of the video and meme on them.
They should.
Like, it's a really good, as good as it was initially, it will be even better when it gets, when it does get turned around. Turn that into your own content.
Yeah. Like, did you see JoJo tweet Vulcan after
the you miss win? Us or
you
something?
Miss us? Yeah, something like that. I was like, whoa. So
it's going to get worse if they keep this up.
JoJo's the only one left on that team. That's the us. He's like, it's really me.
Maybe some of
He's got Ayla's back now. He's known him for 2 weeks or something.
He's like, what's Inspired doing right now?
He's Ayla's biggest fan as of 15 minutes ago.
He's got his boys back.
He's
got
his boys back. Vulcan in the matchup. So that matchup's actually coming up. It's next week.
It's Thursday, game five, I'm pretty sure.
The who took whose job matchup.
Yep. Who won the trade?
I want them both on the mic beforehand, like WWE trash talking.
Freestyle rap battle.
Let's play to their strengths. Yeah. Maybe like craft some tweets and then read them out loud to each other. Something easier.
That'll be fun. But that's about it for us. So that'll wrap it up for us for now.
Fresh.
Good to be back for the LCS. Fresh. And the dive as well. Back on regular cadence. We will be coming out again next week. I'm not sure if we're going to always be reporting on Fridays, Mondays, whatever. But the release date should remain consistent. Fingers crossed. And remember, every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, five more weeks of that for the regular season. It's going to be a six-week regular season. Week one's already down. We'll see you next Wednesday, 2 p.m. PST. That is going to be a lot of fun. It's Golden Guardians versus Dignitas to kick us off. And remember, keep sending us questions. Use the hashtag TheDiveLOL. Hit subscribe on YouTube. You can get us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor.fm, pretty much everywhere else. We'll see you next week.